T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Miss something from the Todd Feinberg Show? Don't stress. Listen to the podcast at WTIC.com or on the free Odyssey app.
Well, that sounds like rock and roll. 860-522-9842. Good afternoon. All right, we're gonna talk about a lot of great stuff today, including your landline. We've never really talked about your landline, but is it gone? I want to find out in a little while. But first, I want to talk about. Well, this has been top of mind. It has. It's been personal. Smartphones for kids. What kind of impact is it having on their psyches? I want to talk about that. I want to talk about the TikTok ban. Isaac Willauer is here. He's our regular, really smart, intellectual, opinionated, young guy. He's a young guy from Young Voices. And he's fun to talk to about stuff like this. So, Isaac, welcome back.
Hey, Todd. How you doing?
Good to have you here. So, I've been watching this with grandkids in particular. It's just so amazing how vivid and destructive it appears to be, this linkage between kids having smartphones and feeling emotional problems, you know, anxiety and depression and disconnectedness from the world. And Jonathan Haidt has a new book out, Haidt, however you say his name. He's got a new book out talking, pitching the idea that we need to get kids off of smartphones and no smartphones till high school is one of the premises he's operating under. And since you're young and you've been, you know, most of your life has been in the smartphone era, I thought maybe we could get a little perspective from your point of view.
Yeah, well, this is a really interesting question, Todd. So, yeah, I'll start with kind of my personal backstory and then we can move to what some of the data say more broadly. So I didn't have a cell phone until I was 16, probably, right? I worked a job, and I didn't have, at least for the first probably a year or so of doing that job, I didn't really have a cell phone.
Are you saying the job was a necessary part, like you were responsible for financing your own communications?
No, I was just working, and I didn't have occasion to really need one.
Okay.
Until then, right? And so, after a couple things happened, I had a cell phone. I mean, you know, that is not the norm for a vast majority of Americans my age, right? There's this poll, I think it was in, October of last year from Common Sense Media. It's saying that by age 10, right? Almost like it's like 41% of kids have cell phones at age 10. By age 14, that number jumps to 91%. So this is not the norm for most Americans. Think about the age 14. Think about like a 14-year-old that you know. Mm-hmm. Think about their level of like mental maturity, ability to handle group pressure, ability to just like, I don't know, like shower and be presentable. 91% of them have cell phones, and at least a plurality, if not majority, of those phones, plurality of those involve unfettered access to the internet. Of course, some kids have dumb phones, some kids have flip phones, gab phones, that kind of thing. But a shocking amount of teenagers, very, very young teenagers, have completely unfettered access to the internet. Now, there are some good things to that, right? Like the internet is simultaneously wonderful and terrible. But there are also some real human costs to putting America's kids, America's teenagers, to throwing them into the internet, into the deep end of the internet pool like that. So
all right, so let's focus on that. What are the deep costs for young people to be swimming in the internet sewer?
Yeah, I mean, so even let's we'll get to some of the darker stuff, but let's even just start with the basic physical stuff. You will develop, you can develop, more kids develop myopia because they're more nearsighted. We are seeing increased.
It's changing eyesight. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, because I mean think about this just at a very basic level. If you have a phone at 14 and you look at it a lot because you're 14 and that's where your friends are and that's where the wonderful world of the internet is, and you look at it a couple hours a day, as compared to someone 14-year-olds for the vast majority of human history who grew up without that, yeah, your behavior changes, and that's going to lead you to some interesting health consequences if you don't mitigate your usage, which if you think about 14-year-olds, mitigating usage of fun things is really not high on what they're able to do, and I certainly wasn't that way at 14 years old either. So it changes that. There's a physical component to this. But I think – but the far more, obviously, Todd, the far more – damaging consequence of all of this is the things that you're exposed to on the internet. It doesn't matter whether it's drugs, it doesn't matter whether it's pornography, suicidal ideation, just really toxic bullying kind of group chat, group think. I mean, on a much less serious level, you can get into like political activism when you're really young, and if you're on Twitter when you're 14, oh my goodness, that'll just set the stage for you to just do something horrible to your own career.
You know what? I've been thinking about this a lot the last couple of weeks, Isaac, and I haven't even thought about the content portion as being that significant compared to the idea of young people being committing so much of their mental attention to the device that they don't learn to socialize, that they become socially isolated, that they get depressed, they get anxious because there's this strong connection between them and notifications. And so I'm not denying that what you're saying is important. I just think it's interesting. Just that physical idea of seeing kids like driving by a bus stop and seeing all the kids not talking to each other but looking at their phones. It's gross 100%. To think about that kids don't know how to build relationships and don't know how to have conversations. And the idea of hanging out with your friends now, for boys anyway, is to sit in a basement playing video games and you talk to them on the internet. They're at their house and you're at yours.
Yeah, well, it's true. And I mean, like, in fairness to America's kids, let's not pretend for a minute that, like, American adults, like, we're any better, right? We're not any better, right? When I see that little one notification come up on my phone, 100%, I jump on that thing. 100%. It's a dopamine hit for me,
yes,
too.
Yes, yes, yes. But
a dopamine hit for you, too.
As I heard on Jonathan Rogan with Jonathan, with Joe Rogan, and Jonathan Haidt was on with him. Haidt was making the point that we have the developed frontal cortex as adults, so we have the processing ability, technically, you know, in terms of physical development, to be able to monitor what's best for us and make decisions. And the kids are invaded by this swamp of the internet and the bombardment of sensory addiction that phones are finely honed to clamp down on you with. The kids are having to deal with that without having been fully developed and without having the social skills. So, yeah, adults may be addicted to the phone as well and susceptible, but we've developed our social abilities pre-smartphone. Well, at least my generation has. Yours hasn't.
Well, that's the thing, Todd. Your generation did. My generation really didn't. So, I mean, moving forward, I mean, I don't want to think about this in terms of like, oh, we got to protect kids from this thing that we're totally ready to take on as adults. I'm like, I try to think about this in the context of my future kids in like a decade is like, Think about the way I interact with my phone. Think about the most unhealthy ways I interact with my phone.
All right, tell us.
Multiply it by like 10. That's what my kids are going to have to deal with.
What's the worst way? Well, maybe it's going to get better, though. Maybe we're getting to a point where
it's not.
Well, hang on. We don't go in straight lines forever, Isaac. And we will, you know, we are at the beginning of the internet era, really. It's only 25 years we're into it. Well, I'm pushing 30. So it's a new thing that we've been absorbing how to use it and what the best way is to have it in our lives, and we've not yet to push back against it. You don't think we will?
I'm very skeptical. I mean, the thing about the internet is that there's basically nothing on the internet that encourages self-regulation of using it, right? Because you can smoke too many cigarettes, right? You can drink too much. There comes a point where you just physically cannot indulge the addiction anymore. With the internet, you can be on it 10, 12, 14, 16 hours a day, and there is no social consequence to that, except that you end up with, like, dark bags under your eyes and you know a little bit too much about, like, politics. There's no actual self-regulating mechanism for the internet.
No, there isn't.
There's no self-regulating mechanism for internet addiction.
But in life, we have the ability to regulate. And we, for example, when I was in high school, and for a long time, virtually everybody smoked cigarettes. I didn't, but large portions of the population smoked cigarettes. And now they're not visible on high school campuses. So we can address that. And let's talk TikTok after we take a quick break. Isaac Willauer is here. From Young Voices, stay with us on WTIC. Maybe we're not going to break. All right, let's just keep talking, Isaac. So let's go into the let's go into that whole idea of whether we can push back against this thing called the internet. We adults. If we can mount a campaign, because what Jonathan Haidt is pressing, he's the author, he's got a new book out on this. He's pushing for kids not having smartphones until high school, just dumb phones. Is that not something we could do?
I mean, I think that makes sense. I mean, look, and I think Jonathan Haidt would agree with this in the sense of, like, these rules, you can't just, none of us can say, no kid below the age of 16 is mature enough for a phone. That's not, like, that's obviously not how that works. There are going to be exceptions. I think it should generally be discouraged. Yeah. I mean, I didn't have a phone until 16. I had social media before that, though. And I can't really think of, outside of, like, socialization with online groups, which is a benefit, right? I can't think of too many benefits that I got from being on social media at such an early age. I can think of a lot of mistakes I made on social media that I regret now. 100%. But in terms of, yeah, so what can we do to push back? I mean, it takes regulation, right? And it takes us regulating ourselves, right? Because if I, in 10 years, am addicted to my phone, and I'm telling my kid not to be addicted to their phone, well, that's going to accomplish nothing at all. I mean, change on this has to come from within, because as we said before, this is not, the internet is not something that self-regulates, because nothing on the internet, nobody, no content creator, no internet service provider, has any real motive to encourage you to use the internet less, right? So we can talk about the smoking thing because you brought it up. Smoking, part of that was there were a lot of public policy initiatives to combat this kind of thing, and there's a social shaming of smokers that occurs, right? And it is just kind of at a level, it's just kind of noxious. It's literally noxious. There's fumes. It affects people around you in the way that you being glued to your phone for 16 hours a day really doesn't. So I guess that's where my skepticism comes on the broad-scale social pushback. The individual level, yeah, think about put a usage tracker on your phone. See how much you use your phone. I do this. It's terrifying. I left my phone in a safe in my college dorm to go to an event.
Mm-hmm.
Todd, I'm on my phone probably I'm not even going to give the number out because your listeners will stop listening to me. That's how bad it is. But I'm like, I left the phone safe, and I'm like, all right. And I think I went to church, and my hands were shaking because it's a security blanket for me. And I'm like,
well, you're just used to leaving the house with it. Yeah, it's like going out of the house undressed. But what
feel it in your pocket when it's not there. It's
yeah,
trippy.
That's true. And you feel it vibrating in your pocket when it's not vibrating. It's remarkable how much of a hold it has over our psyches. And that's why I think the fact that adults totally dropped the ball, and the power structure totally dropped the ball, and our socialized school systems totally dropped the ball. They should never mm-hmm. have allowed these devices into schools, and they're starting to push back now and require that kids put their phones into a pack during the day and take it out when they leave, and that
is what you should do, yeah.
And so that will be, I believe that over the next few years, that will become near universal. And that gives a start to the whole conversation. And kids will go through the day without it in their pockets. And that will create some of the separation they need, the physical separation to be able to break their psyches off of wondering about the buzzing of the phone, because it's a community activity. If you're at school and you're worried that you might be missing out on group texts that your friends are sending, then that's part of the socialization of the need for the phone. And if you're free of it, because it's everybody's have been taken, then you don't have to sweat it because you know those aren't going to come till after school.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. Even from my own personal experience, like I'll be doing, right, I'm about to graduate college in a few weeks, so I will no longer have college to distract me from not using my phone. But it's interesting because I think about that. Like if I'm working, right, and I get a notification on my phone, 9 times out of 10, I'm not ashamed to admit it. I probably should be, but whatever. I pick up the phone, right? I pick up the phone. I stop working. I pick up the phone. I respond to the notification. Well, am I really doing, at that point, am I really doing work interspersed with phone? Or
yes.
Am I just living on my phone and it's being interspersed by work?
Well, whatever. You're certainly not bringing your full power as a person to what you're doing,
it
your full mind, because
concentration.
The studies show it takes several minutes or you know, longer, like big chunks of time to get back to your level of concentration that you were at before.
Yeah, and I mean,
the phone
no one can multitask at a truly effective level as much as they can when they're not multitasking. But anyway, we could talk about this for hours. I mean, obviously there have been a lot of solutions to this. Like we could even talk about the TikTok ban at some level is maybe a proposed solution. I personally think it's a pretty bad one. I don't think it's going to actually accomplish the things that it purports to accomplish, either on national security or on actually getting Americans off their phones.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, let's think about this very seriously. I mean, there are people in America who are addicted, and I don't mean casually. I mean addicted to their phones. If you took it away for a day, they would have trouble. And maybe I'm part of that group. I don't know. I'm on my phone a lot, dude.
Yes, but it's you're crazy. Doing work. But you're presumably doing a lot of reading there. You're not just responding to texts and checking social media, right?
Right. But this is what I would say to listeners, I guess. I would encourage you not to think about, when you think about tech addiction, especially among young people, don't think about it as these darn kids won't get off their freaking phone. Think about how much time you spend on your phone. Think about how much time the average working professional even spends on their phone, right? Everything in life, whether it's work or business or leisure or entertainment or reading, even very healthy things, it all, society just comes through this gateway of this magic box in your hand that just unlocks the world to you.
Yeah, that is our electrical connection,
doing
right?
Think about someone who's 10.
But what's worse for the kids, and why I think it's urgent for us to break in, is they haven't developed the skills, they haven't developed the brain, like the physical brain, to have the control over it, and they're doing a lot less functional work that we would be doing. So we're a big chunk of your time, as you think about yourself, Isaac Willauer, you're on your phone reading maybe 75% of the time or 50% of the time, some big chunk, and some chunk might be social media, but that social media is connected to your work and you're pushing yourself out there as a professional. You also read books. Your time absorbing information is splintered, and your actual time being addicted to the phone because it's notifying you and stuff like that, I don't know, you'll have to tell us, but I would think it's a lot less than a 12-year-old whose purpose in carrying the phone has nothing to do with anything except for those notifications, and who wants them and in what way.
Yeah, no, that's definitely fair. I mean, most 12-year-olds who have phones, they're just using it. I would assume they're just using it to communicate with friends and that kind of thing. But that is a very charitable and very light and happy assumption, right? The reality of the internet is that a shocking amount of American children are exposed to just truly horrific moral degradation on the internet through the phone. I mean, the average age. I mean, if you really want to depress yourself, anyone listening to this, if you really want to depress yourself for the rest of the day, go look up what the average age of the first time an American child watches porn. It'll break your heart. And that, I think, does that mean that we have to yoink phones out of the hands of every American child? No, it doesn't. Does it mean we have to ban TikTok because of that? I don't think so. We can have that argument. But the point is, this is the technological age. This is the age where everything exists on the internet. For that, and because of that, it's an age where everyone exists on the internet. And it represents the entering. It's kind of like your debut in society to be on social media, to be on the phone. It does not have to be this early.
Yeah, well, but that's going to be hard to claw back as well. So we've got to.
No, it's going to be hard to claw back, but. If we care about our future kids, we care about future generations of Americans, if we would like future generations of Americans to be happier, healthier, and maybe not get their news from TikTok, because that's just the dumbest thing ever, let's all think about collectively.
I've spent a few minutes on
how to regulate our internet usage.
I've spent a few minutes on TikTok, and it's appallingly stupid and hard to watch. All right, Isaac, it's great to have you here. At Isaac Willauer on Twitter. Yeah. Anything else we should know? Do you have a website? You don't have a website, right?
I do not. Check out youngvoices.org. And by the way, we talked about Jonathan Haidt a bunch. Check it out. The Anxious Generation is the title of the book. It's coming out in 2024. Give it a read. I'm sure Jonathan is fantastic. I'm sure the book will be great.
Yeah, it's coming out, I think, in a week or two. Like Monday after Easter, I believe. Okay, thank you for being here. It's always fun to talk to you, Isaac.
Thanks, Todd. Take care.
That's Isaac Willauer, Willauer. He's 22 years old, smart guy, writes about politics.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Stuff like that.
Why wait? Come on. Oh, come on. Why wait? You can rant right now at 860-751-4698 on the Todd Feinberg Show.
Thursday afternoon, another week races by as our lives race by, and we start to realize that we are but a speck of sand, our presence on this planet. That's the amount of time we're here for. All right, so we can talk about this thing we were discussing with Isaac, the internet, the smartphone era, the crushing burden it is on young people. And I also want to throw by you, I want to run by you the idea of landlines. I'm just curious if you still have a phone, an old-fashioned traditional phone, and if so, why? And do you use it? 860-522-9842. We still have a landline. And the landline has no function virtually for me, but my wife prefers it because she's less tech-oriented. I've got my cell phone always in my pocket pretty much, and I'm picking up texts and stuff, but not much. And I don't get bothered much in the evening being, you know, like after dinner. We're doing, that's family time. But during the day, you know, I get an occasional text. I don't get many phone calls. Do you get any phone calls? That's what I find, is that phones aren't used as phones anymore. As Michael Harrison was saying yesterday, they're not phones. They're not phones. We keep our computers on us because we want to look things up and because we get texts, right? And some people do social media a lot. I don't do it a lot. I check in. I throw things out there on Twitter mostly that I want to throw out there. Anyway, the landline. Where are you with the landline? Still there? And why? 860-522-9842. There was a story about this on the front page of the New York Times the other day. Sunday. To people who still have one, the landline is a lifeline during power outages, a welcome throwback to the era before doom scrolling and push alerts, and a more comfortable, better-sounding alternative to tinny, thin smartphones. Yeah, that's one thing. When we grew up, sound was called hi-fi, right? High fidelity. We were looking for high fidelity. When I was in college, I remember kids having U-Hauls just to bring their speakers into their dorm rooms. The bass rumbling through the building. My freshman year at the University of Denver, before I transferred to Tufts, I had to go to the University of Denver and get some decent grades so they would take me at Tufts. And I remember, it was like a, I don't know, a 10-story tower was the dorm. And I remember Pink Floyd just rumbling through, vibrating through the reinforced concrete support structures of that building. And that was my welcome to college. I just thought that was amazing with these huge, I'm trying to remember the name of the speakers, something Vegas. Anybody remember those speakers? They were beautiful. Man, we were so into sound quality back then. Now sound quality has gone by the wayside. Portability is the thing. That's the priority. And nobody cares about sound quality, apparently. It's about access and portability. So anyway, landline, does it still mean anything to you? Why do you still have it if you do? 860-522-9842. And I've got other topics to throw out to you, and I'm sure you've got topics to throw out to me. We've got an hour to talk, so let's do it. 860-522-9842. Don't neglect the landline for us. The special landline called the Rant Line, 860-751-4698 is your contact number there. Now, a couple of news stories we want to talk about, perhaps. Kate Middleton, she disappeared. For months, do you know why? There are all kinds of theories online about Kate Middleton. You know, she's the princess married to William. And everybody's in a tizzy over there because she's missing. Also, again, the student loans. Biden, again, with the student loan buyouts. Spending $150 billion to pay people back for their student loans because they didn't realize when they took out a loan that it would be hard to pay back. How grotesque has our country become in terms of our politics, which is no longer democratic? It is the opposite of democratic. It is a totally rigged system. Thank you, Bernie Sanders, for that language. It's what applies across the board today. Ellery calling from Naugatuck. Hi, Ellery.
Hello, Tom.
Todd.
I have a Vonage internet phone for a home line.
You have what?
Vonage internet phone.
A bomb teach?
Vonage with a V.
And what is that?
It's an internet phone. It hooks up to your router.
Okay.
And you get unlimited calls North and South America. The internet company I had would charge free incoming calls, and after 15 outgoing calls, you had to start paying for calls.
Really?
And grandmom had a fallen and I can't get up button hanging around her neck, and so we had to have a landline in case we had an emergency call from
that. Okay, so that gives you the functionality of a landline, but it's going over the internet. So if the internet goes down in a blackout or something, it doesn't do you the benefit of having a phone.
Battery backup. I got a battery backup for the router.
Yes, for the router, but often in breakdowns of electricity, do you find that the internet goes out too?
Well, it runs the router, so I'm doing okay with that. I haven't had any problem, and I've dropped all the internet companies and gone to GoNet Speed, which is fiber optic.
Yeah.
And I don't have any cable channels because we got Fire Sticks and a Roku.
Wow, so you are totally teched out.
Yeah, well, you know, the cable companies keep raising their rates, and, you know, it just got to be a hassle. And I find out for what we watch, that works fine. And a fiber optic is blazing fast. My grandson says my Xbox games don't lag anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And when they did a speed test, I found out that the extra money I was paying for high speed from an internet company, I wasn't getting.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I said, hello, GoNet Speed, sign me up right now. And I pay about $50 a month for that. And that's wonderful.
So you should be a consultant.
Well, yeah. Tell everyone, you know, this is the cable company go to. right now they're in Massachusetts and places that have overhead lines. They haven't gone underground. But that's a growing company. They'll start doing the underground things, too. But, that was a blessing to get that.
Well, all right. Thank you for sharing that. Anything else you want us to know?
No, that's about it. Just watch out for the cable companies when they do this phone rate on you. It's crazy.
Yeah, it is. It's all getting very expensive. Thank you, Ellery, for the call. It's good to hear from you. 860-522-9842. Did you see the story in the so we're talking about landlines. Did you see the story in the Current today? I think it was today. Connecticut lawmakers seek to help rein in street takeovers. It's just interesting because it lays it out so clearly. Just how bad the things have gotten with the abandonment of civilized society in favor of the Democrats' business model of not making anyone pay for reality. Democratic voters apparently have not come to terms with the idea of adulthood, and that adulthood means you're responsible for your own stuff. So Joe Biden is paying off their loans. This drives me crazy. And they don't arrest people for blocking traffic and creating mayhem and inviting hundreds of people on social media down to hundreds of cars taking over the streets and doing drag racing and stuff. Come on, man. What happened to civilized society? Robert in Winstead. Hi, Robert. Thank you for the call. Turn down that radio, sir.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. I'm sorry. I just shut it off.
That's all right. You did great. That was quick reaction time. I like it.
Because I'm a little slow at the switch.
No, you were high speed.
I have a landline, and I've had it. It was my father's phone number. Worked for the phone company. I love it, and I'm keeping it forever.
But why? In what way do you use it? Do you use it instead of your mobile phone?
I'm talking to you on it now.
Pretty good sound quality. So it would be good for talk radio if everybody called on a landline because the audio quality is better.
Definitely, because the cell phone, people are calling from their cars, and, you know, you're getting that fishbowl and the echoing and you know, buffering. And I'm just going to say this.
Yep.
My landline is bundled with my cable and my internet. It costs $20 a month. Okay? And I'm not going to say the name of them because I'm not liking them right now.
Well, I know the feeling. A lot of people feel that way.
The phone company that started Frontier, their prices for this landline, it was $75. So that's why I bundled with them up to $257 a month.
Oh, and yeah, the cable is a whole other thing. I'm over $300 a month, and I keep looking up at the roof and trying to decide, am I going to climb up there and try to put up an antenna and see if I can receive any TV stations?
Well, you know, I am such a procrastinator because where I live, I could probably get 100 channels. I live up 1,500 feet above sea level.
Wow.
Up here in Winchester, and I could get a bunch of channels with an antenna, and, you know, I'm just so stuck on, you know, Fox and the Weather Channel and INSP, and, you know, I got to, you know.
Yeah, but you could have basic cable for small money, couldn't you?
I have basic cable. It's basic. The internet.
Yeah, okay. So, but the internet is like $100, $125. I don't even know. So you're really not paying that much for cable.
I'm not, you know, I'm not a big internet user.
I'm just saying the cost breaks down. It's not, you're not paying $200 plus for cable. You're paying $100 for cable and $100 for internet, something like that.
My total bill for three things is $257.
Right. Yeah, but there's all the regulatory stuff, all the taxes for the government.
All right, Mark. That's everything.
I've got to go to a break. Thank you for calling, Robert. It's great to talk with you, and I appreciate you contributing that to the conversation. We're going to take a quick break. We'll go to Mark first when we continue on WTIC.
Never miss a moment. Go listen to the Todd Feinberg podcast on the Odyssey app.
860-522-9842. We're talking about landlines. Do you still have one? And if you have one, do you use it? And if you got rid of it, why did you? And what else? Do you talk on your cell phone? Do you pay too much for your cable service? Do you pay too much for the internet? Do you use the internet at home? Is it even worth having it? 860-522-9842. Let's go to Mark next on WTIC. Hi, Mark.
Hey, how's it going?
What's happening?
Can you hear me all right?
I can hear you all right. Can you hear me all right?
I can. I'm driving. I'm a first-time caller.
Okay, thank you for that.
I do have a landline. It's through Comcast. Mm-hmm. It will run for a full day if there's extended power outages. We have it for emergency use.
Wait, your landline runs for a full day? Oh, you mean it's got enough battery backup?
Yep.
But it runs on the internet. But what if the internet goes down when the electricity goes down?
It actually runs through the existing phone line system. Mm-hmm. It's just routed through the router. So I don't have to have internet in order for the landline to work if power goes out.
Wow, that's very interesting.
More than a day, then that's a problem.
Okay. So they're the ones providing you the backup for that day.
Correct. Yep.
Okay.
Yep, it's part of the whole package service.
And is that important to you to have the landline?
It is. It is. I have some existing health issues, so if 911's needed, we need to know we can dial it.
Okay.
And that's really the biggest reason why we have it.
Good.
It makes my wife feel good, makes me feel good. So, and we have used it in emergency situations, so it's definitely come in handy. In regards to the student loan fiasco that's going on right now,
mm-hmm.
it's one of my biggest pet peeves. There is a very simple fix without forgiving any of it. Modify it. Get rid of the capitalized interest program that they were all written on. Put them on a simple interest-bearing loan like a mortgage and reset it. This is how much you should have paid off. Here, start from here. Start from scratch. Save billions. The other problem is...
What?
All of these people that complain that, I paid it for 10 years and I didn't get anywhere, they're not telling you how many years they deferred their payment and didn't bother to pay attention to the fact that all of that got added onto the principal.
Well, there's another problem too, Mark, which is we don't really owe them the bailout. And we're becoming a country where politics is votes are paid for by the politicians using our public policy. Thanks, Mark, for the call. Great to hear from you for the first time. CJ, what's going on?
Okay, I have a landline. I wish I didn't have to pay the extra cost, but I have an alarm system that needs to have the landline.
Okay, so that's how it notifies the central, what do they call it there, the central service that monitors
things. Yeah, and we have a wood-burning stove, so we definitely want to have the fire also, mm-hmm. just in case there's a problem. But my biggest pet peeve is, so we have Comcast and it's outrageous, the pricing, and I just want to let people know that they are sneaky, and they do things like set you up for automatic payments. They did this to me without my authorization. I reached out to the Attorney General. Xfinity called me and to apologize for this happening. They offered me a better rate, which, of course, I accepted. I was happy to save a little bit of money. I was not happy that they automatically were taking payments out of my, my debit card.
Did the lower rate last, though, or did it disappear after 6 months or a year?
Well, it was 2 years, so it did lapse. But recently, I got an email from Xfinity saying, thank you for your recent purchase, and it was a $20 increase to my account for some program I didn't sign up for. So I called Xfinity. And I said to them, I want to know how this happened. And they said, well, you authorized the transaction. And I said, I didn't. So I...
You're right. They are weasels. I got to go, CJ, but they are weasels. You got to watch everybody these days because they're just looking to get you on those automatic payments. Thank you so much for the call. More coming up on these topics and others. And right now, Mark Christopher in the BPS Lawyers Traffic. Is it Mark today or is he off? Yeah, we've got somebody filling in. It's a surprise traffic reporter. Here we go from the BPS Lawyers Traffic Center.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.